we could take the time this morning to go through and read this chapter and the previous chapter and look at all the great things that are said about the mighty men of valor. But I want to come down to one verse that's different than the rest of the verses. I want you to come down to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and look, please, at verse 32. I've tried to preach this verse a number of years ago, and it's completely, I don't remember what I said then, but the main thought's the same, but there are a lot of different messages and burdens that are on my heart. So I ask you to pray that God will bless us to hear the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, beginning, well, I'll just read verse 32. After it's talked about the other groups of the men of God, the great army of God, it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the Word of God says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." So you have all these great army, the great army of God. You have thousands of mighty men of valor, and yet you have 200 men. The Word of God says that the men of Issachar were men of understanding of the times, and the Word of God then says to know what Israel ought to do. Now, brethren, I don't know of anything more needful and anything we need to pray any harder for than for us to have men in the churches and in our government and in the homes. We need men like the men of Issachar. That is, we need men of understanding, men that know what the people of God ought to do. There are so many of the people of God today that are very confused about what they ought to do. There are many of the people of God that are going astray from the Word of God because we don't have enough men of understanding of the times that know what the people of God ought to do. The Word of God tells us in the book of Judges that there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I believe that's what people of God are doing today, that everybody's just going by what they think and what they feel, and they're disregarding what the Word of God says is the right way. I believe there are many churches today that are very confused about what is right because there is a lack of men of understanding that are teaching the people of God what the people of God ought to do. And so we need to pray that God will help us. And we need to pray fervently that God will help us here, that we might have men of understanding to know what the people of God ought to do, and that God will bless all of His people throughout this earth, not only in the churches, but in our government. Did you know that our government is in great need of men of Issachar, men of understanding of the times, men that know what the people of God ought to do? I think that we are making decisions in the government and in the churches that are not based on what God would have us to do. So it is that the people of God, the Word of God says, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I believe that the churches and our nation are headed down a pathway of destruction, and the only thing, the only hope that we have is in God. And if God will give us men of understanding of the times that know what the people of God ought to do, and then give those men the strength and grace to stand up and to try to teach the people of God what they ought to do, and that the people of God then would respond and do what God's Word tells us to do. I want all of us to understand that God's way is not our way. That as the heavens are higher than the earth, so is God's way higher than our ways and God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. You can never imagine God's way. You cannot just come up on your own. You can't come up with God's way. God has to show you His way. When you read the Word of God, you'll find that there were times that the armies of God, even if you go to 2 Chronicles, we're in 1 Chronicles right now, but if you were to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll find that Jehoshaphat was trying to lead the people of Judah, the people of God. And as he was trying to be their king and to lead them, the armies of Ammon and other men of enemies of the people of God, those armies, three armies, began to come against the people of Judah. And as those armies, greater than Judah, greater than their army, as those armies began to come against the people of Judah, you know what they needed to know? What do you think they needed to know? What did they need to know? They needed to know what to do. When they were outnumbered and there was no way they could win the battle, they needed to know what to do. And I thank God that they had a king, they had a leader that knew what to do. When he didn't know what to do, when he was outnumbered and there was no way for him to win the battle, he knew what to do. The Word of God says that when Jehoshaphat began to realize the circumstances and conditions that they were in, the first thing he did was call all the people together. He called the people of Judah together to prepare them for the problem that they were facing. And do you know what he told them to do to prepare for that battle? He told them to fast and pray. Now, brethren, that's not the normal way. That's not the natural way to prepare for a battle. But that was God's way for them, and it's God's way for all of us as we face problems and difficulties in life. The thing that we must do is fast and pray and ask God to guide us and direct us. If you want to know what to do, you need to acknowledge you don't know what to do. You need to go before God like Jehoshaphat did. And Jehoshaphat cried out to God and said, "We don't have any might against these people and we don't know what to do." But then he says, "Nevertheless, our eyes are upon thee." Now brethren, that man of God was a man of understanding. He was a man that knew what Israel ought to do. He knew that they needed to pray. He knew that they needed to acknowledge their dependence upon God. And did you know that's what all of us, every church, do you know there are many churches that are in great need of help today? There are churches that are dying today. Just this year, there have been Primitive Baptist churches that have closed their doors across this land, and many more on the verge of closing their doors. And some churches are coming up with programs and ideas and schemes to try to build the church up. There's only one way to build up the church of Jesus Christ, and that's for the people of God to get back to the Word of God, get back to God's way, and then God will add to the church, and He'll bless the church if the church will begin to be what she ought to be. But when we want to come up with our own schemes and devices, God will withdraw His Spirit from us, and we'll dry up and wither up and die. We need men of understanding to know the signs of the times and to know what Israel, what the people of God ought to do. Jehoshaphat, did you know what God told them to do after they fasted and prayed? You know what God told them to do? God told them to set some singers, S-I-N-G-E-S, set a choir out there in front of the army of God. Now, I'd rather have been a soldier. I wouldn't want to have been in that choir that was out there in front of the army going out into battle. But that's what God told Israel to do. Do you see that God's ways are not man's ways? That's what God told them to do. And did you know when they put those singers out there in front of the army and they went forward to meet those soldiers that they were greatly outnumbered by, when they went out to meet them, the Word of God says that there began to be a conflict between all those other soldiers and they began to kill themselves. So that when the army of God actually got there, that all the enemy were slain, and there were so many spoils, so many riches out there for the children of Israel to gather up, that they couldn't even pick up all the gold and silver and jewels that were out there. Brethren, God wrought a great victory with the people of God because the people of God had a man of God that knew what Israel ought to do. What were they to do? They were to pray. They were to fast and pray. They were to seek God's guidance. And then the people, did the people have to do what the man of God told them to do? Okay, I didn't ask the question clearly because I've got heads going in both directions. Should the people of God do what? They didn't have to do it. But if they wanted a victory, there was only one thing they could do, and that is they had to do what God said to do. They weren't just following a man. I want all of you to understand that sometimes people get things very confused when there is a man of God that has understanding and knows the Word of God and knows the way of righteousness, sometimes people say they're just following the man. Listen, if you're following me or any other man, instead of following God, you better get your eyes off the man and get your eyes on God. However, God does give us men of understanding and we can follow them. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said that they were to follow him as he followed Christ. And all of you men that are parents, you need to be telling your children, follow me, follow me. Be like I am. Live like I live. Don't be telling your children, don't do as I do as I say. That's just horrible. You need to tell your children, follow me as I follow the Lord. We need men of understanding and wisdom in the homes that know what the people of God ought to do, that know what the families ought to do, that know what the church ought to do, and that know what our nation ought to do. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. And I know that these are very familiar words to you, but listen, brethren, we're in very critical times. We are in very critical times. And there are many churches and many people and many denominations that are going completely contrary to God's Word. And the primary reason is because they're like sheep that have no shepherd. And the first primary, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. And we need to be following Christ. And as we follow Christ, follow God's Word, as we have people that do that, we need to follow the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, listen please, beginning in verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Tell me about the men of Issachar again before I go here to Jeremiah 6. Tell me about the men of Issachar. The men of Issachar were men that had what? Understanding. I want you to keep remembering that. They had understanding. They had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Now, do you see that? And did you know that after it says that, it says, and all the armies of God followed their commandments. Isn't that marvelous? In other words, it didn't matter how strong all those armies were. It didn't matter that they were almighty men of valor. If they did not follow the men of wisdom, they'd have still lost the battle. That's been taught all through God's Word. That it's not by our might or by our power, but it's by God's Spirit. Likewise, there have been many great armies that have failed. There have been many great people that have failed. There have been many nations that have failed that were mighty nations. But brethren, any nation that turns her back on God, God will bring that nation down to nothing. Did you know that the United States of America is hated and despised? And I want to just say this. We're called a heathen nation. Listen carefully. We're called a heathen nation. Other nations and other religions point to the United States of America and they point to the ungodliness in America and they say that is a heathen nation. And did you know they are correct in their opinion of the United States of America? They're correct because we have turned our backs on God. And the accusation that we're a heathen nation, you start getting upset with that accusation, you just need to look at what we are today compared to what we were when we were founded as the United States of America. Brethren, there was a time that the United States of America feared God, loved God, served God. There was a time, I believe with all of my heart, you can't look back at the founding of America and not realize there were men of Issachar that were there in the founding of our nation. There were men that stood up for what was right. There were men that gave their lives. They died standing for what was right. There were men and women that were willing to follow God no matter what the cost was. They had men of understanding that told the people of God what to do. And the people of God did what the men of God told them to do. And they followed God. They followed God's Word. And God blessed America. What's happened? Either we don't have men of wisdom to know what to do, or the men of wisdom, if they know what to do and they're not telling the people of God what to do, they're going to be very accountable to God. Or, third thing is, the people of God are refusing to do what the men of God say to do. In Jeremiah chapter 6, we read about that kind of situation. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, the Word of God says in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths." Do you know what every one of us ought to do? We ought to say, "God, teach us your way. Show us the old paths." There are so many people that say, "Oh, don't tell me that. That's old fogey. That's old fashioned." Let me tell you something, brethren. God's way may be considered old fogey and old fashioned by the world, but God's way is the only way that we're ever going to be saved from the hell that we're headed for in our nation today. We better be asking for the old paths. God's Word says that we should ask for the old paths. Thus saith the Lord, "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Have we had men of God that have done that in days gone by? You go back 100 years in history. If you go back 100 years, was it Brother Rich, didn't you loan me a tape called The Time Changers? Is that the name of that tape? I encourage any of you to... Now, there are some things that are wrong with it, but I'm telling you, there's a great lesson in that little DVD called The Time Changers. There's a great lesson there. There's a man from 1890 that was, quote, transposed up until today's society. And he was shocked. He was amazed at the condition that churches were in. He was amazed that Christians today had lowered their standards so low it was beyond his comprehension. And I think that that movie does an excellent job of pointing out how far we've gone away from God. Even in 1900, we had already begun departing from God as a nation. But we were a lot closer to God then than we are today. So God says, "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." You hear what the people said? "We will not walk therein." Did you know that's what people of God are saying? I'm talking about people, church-going people are saying today, "We won't walk that way. We will not be a part of that. We don't want any part of that. We will not walk the way that you're telling us to walk." One of the most heart-wrenching experiences I've had was I sat with a lady this week that is a dear, she's one of the most precious women I've ever known in all my life. And she said, she's just gotten a defibrillator and she's been shocked 5 times, and she said, "Brother Mullis, I just don't believe in capital punishment anymore." Now, you have to have a defibrillator to understand the shock, the horrors of that shock have made her feel like, "I just don't believe in capital punishment anymore." She said, "To put anybody, any human being in an electric chair and them go through what I've been going through with this defibrillator, I just don't think we ought to do that." I said, "Well, then let's talk about what God's Word says. Let's talk about what God..." She said, "Well, I just don't believe in it anymore. I just don't believe in capital punishment anyway. I just don't believe we ought to ever put anybody..." I said, "Let's look at what God's Word..." "Well, I know what God's Word says," she said, "but I just don't think we ought to do that anymore." Now, when somebody says, "I know what God's Word says, but..." You know what they said? "We're not going to walk in God's way. We're not going to do that. I know what God..." And then she went on, proceeded to say, "And you know something else?" She said, "I have 2 homosexuals that have been cutting my grass for a long time. And I've been just loving them. And now they're part of our church. And they're just real happy to be in the church. And let me tell you something, brethren. You know what we..." And I said, "Now, wait just a minute." I said, "Do you know what God's Word says about..." "I know." She said, I know what God's Word says. "But I'm telling you, I just think we ought to have more compassion for them." And do you know what? And she's a dear sister in Christ. She's my sister in Christ. She is grossly in error, but she's my sister in Christ. And I tried to sit there and try to talk to her from God's Word, and she finally said, "I know that's what the right way is, but I'm just telling you how I feel." Now, let me tell you something, brethren. We better stop thinking about the way we feel and what we think, and what we think is right and what we feel is right, and we better get back to what God says is right. God's Word is correct. It always has been and always will be. God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. You know what burdens my heart this week? I'm just telling you about some things that have burdened my heart this week. I found out this week there are at least 3 churches in this community that now have a woman preacher that up until this time in the history of those churches, they have never, never had a woman preacher. But three churches in this community in the past 2 weeks have gotten women for preachers. And let me tell you something, brethren. God's Word sets up the right way. God's Word sets up the standard. Do you know how we got to that point? We got to that point because we first began to lower the standard that's given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 on the qualifications of pastors. And we first started saying, well, I know God's Word says that he has to be the husband of one wife, but there's so much divorce today that we have to ordain men that are divorced or else we can't have enough good preachers. We made an exception. We went against God's Word there. The next step was have women preachers. And that same denomination, one of those denominations, now will go along with homosexual preachers. Do you see where they went from? They went from standing. Listen, you go back 200 years. You go back 150 years in those denominations. They did not allow, those denominations did not allow men that had been divorced to be a pastor. That's what their standard was. Then they made an exception. And they did not allow women to be preachers. And they didn't allow, listen, brethren, they did not allow homosexuals to be a member of the church. That's what God's standard is. The Word of God says that when a person is a homosexual, they're to be put out of the church. It's only after a person repents and turns from that sinful way. Listen, children of God have been homosexuals and have turned from that. And then they can be a part of the church. The Word of God tells us about the church of God at Corinth. And there were people that were homosexuals and living all kinds of ungodly lifestyles. But when they repented, the Word of God says that such were some of you. You were in that shape, but you're no longer there. You've turned and you've repented. But as long as a person is a homosexual, they are not to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, I will declare unto you, they cannot be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, because as long as it's the Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ will not allow that in the church. The only reason that churches are allowing what they're allowing today is because either they don't know what the right way is, or they have just turned their backs on the right way. You think we have serious times in our nation today? Yes, we do, brethren. We have serious times. We need men of Issachar. We need to be praying for men of Issachar. We need to be praying for God to send men that have an understanding of the times and that know what the people of God ought to do, and that they'll teach the people of God what they ought to do. And our only hope is if when they hear what is taught, they will repent and turn back to God's Word and God's way. Every one of us needs to repent. Did you know that? Not talking about just sinners down the road. This church building is full of people that every one of us need to repent of different things in our lives. The people said, we will not walk therein. You go home and read the rest of this passage of Scripture. Isn't that what's being said today? We will not follow God's Word. Doesn't matter whether you talk about capital punishment, abortion. Brother Robert, will the people of God, will churches take the godly stand God's Word calls for on abortion? Churches generally will not take that stand today. Why? Because we don't have enough men of Issachar that will tell the people, they're not men of understanding. They won't tell the people what's right and what's wrong. Or else, the people, when they do hear what's right and what's wrong, they get rid of that man and get them somebody else. I've known preachers in this community that stood up for what was right, and you know what happened to those preachers when they did tell the congregation God's way and what was right? They got rid of him. Those churches are headed for the severe judgments of God, because, brethren, when we harden our hearts and we refuse to hear and follow the Word of God, God's going to punish us severely. That servant that knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Go with me now back just a moment. Go back to the Old Testament. I want you to notice look in Exodus chapter 18. Please turn in your Bibles. I want you to see the kind of men we need. The kind of men we need in government. And brethren, we don't need men, listen carefully, we don't need men that will stand on some issues but won't stand on others. We need men that will stand on every single issue that God's Word speaks about. We have some men that will stand on some things, but they waffle on other things. I had another example this week. I'm just telling you what we're being plagued with. I had another example this week where a man came to me heavily burdened because his pastor, or the pastor of a church here in town, that pastor is trying to allow divorce and remarriage in the deacons and in the ministry. And the deacons of that church are standing against the pastor. Do you follow that? Now that pastor, I knew that pastor 15 years ago, and that pastor 15 years ago stood against divorce and remarriage in the ministry and in the deacons. Today he's changed his position because of immorality in his own life. But I thank God there's some men of Issachar in that church that while he's trying to begin to push and promote for some deacons to be ordained that are divorced and remarried, you know what the other deacons in that church are doing? They're standing where God's Word says to stand. Now, I thank God for men of Issachar like that. And I want you to pray for those men of Issachar that they won't succumb to the pressures of that pastor to ordain men that don't meet scriptural qualifications. Exodus chapter 18. Listen, please, to verses 20 and 21. Exodus chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. We need men of understanding, men who have understanding to know what God's people ought to do. In Exodus chapter 18, listen to verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws." You know where the ordinances and laws come from? Where do the ordinances and laws come from? God's Word. We have many laws on our books today that come. In fact, I think every year we have new laws that are passed that contradict the laws that are in God's Word. He says, "Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Is there work for the people of God to do? Listen, if you're not working to change the direction our nation's going in, you are failing to do the work God would have you to do. There's a work. There's a great work out there for us. Verse 21 says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men." Now, I want you to look at what the Word of God says, the kind of men that were to lead the children of Israel. "Able men, such as," what's the first thing He says? "Such as fear God." Did you know there are many people today that don't believe you ought to fear God? Did you know that? I'm talking about church-going people. There are a lot of churches that don't preach about fearing God. They say, "Oh, that's God of the Old Testament." No, sir, brother. Well, yes, it is. It is the God of the Old Testament, and it's the God of the New Testament. God is saying yesterday, today, and forever. The New Testament says in Hebrews chapter 13, the last verse it says, Hebrews 12, the last, I'm not sure it's either 12 or Hebrews 12. The last verse says, our God is, New Testament, our God is a consuming fire. And the Word of God repeatedly tells us. Jesus Christ says, "Fear God! Fear God!" The Word of God, brethren, tells the people of God they better fear God. The only reason that we're turned our backs on God and His Word and His way is because we do not fear God. Fear God. We need men of Issachar, men who have understanding, that know what the people of God ought to do. Able men, such as fear God. What's the second statement in that 21st verse of Exodus 18, verse 21. What's the second thing after it says, men that fear God? Men of what? Men of truth. Is truth important? Truth is very important. Very important. Men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Brethren, there are rulers that God has set forth in His Word. There should be rulers in our land. There should be men over other men. But those men are to meet the criteria that God gives us in His Holy Word. In the church and in the nation, we need men of Issachar who understand the times and know what the people of God ought to do. Go with me in closing to one other verse of Scripture in Deuteronomy. Please look in your Bibles at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to very carefully look at verses 5 and 6, because this tells us what the men of understanding will do and what kind of men they are. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, listen please to verses 5 and 6. Is it good to have good soldiers? You go back and read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you read about a lot of good soldiers. Mighty men of valor, men that could fight, men that had spears and swords and could fight in all kinds of ways. But you know what all of those men did? While the army of God was successful, they did what the men of Issachar told them to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the Word of God says, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I have taught you." I have taught you. Has God taught us? I would ask you that question. Do we know what God's way is? Has God taught us? He says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it." What was God telling the children of Israel? He's saying, you're going into the land of Canaan, and you better keep those laws and those commandments and statutes when you get in that land. Verse 6 says this, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your..." What's the next word there? "This is your wisdom and your understanding," if you do what? Keep the laws of God and do them. "This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Do you know what will happen when there is a nation that will follow the laws of God? Other nations will point to that nation and say, that's the standard, that's the way, that's the right way to walk. You know why we're being called a heathen nation today? Because we've turned our backs on God. We need men of Issachar, men of understanding of the times, who know what the people of God ought to do. How can you know what to do? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may know the man of God, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. May God help us to follow His Word and pray for more men of understanding that know what the people of God ought to do, and pray that they will tell the people of God what they ought to do, and pray that the people of God will do like Isaiah 2:3 says, that they said, "Teach us your ways, and we will walk in them." Those people in Isaiah chapter 2 are completely opposite of those in Jeremiah 6:16. Those in Jeremiah 16 said, "We won't walk therein." Isaiah 2:3 says, "Teach us your ways, and we will walk therein." Are you willing to say that this morning? God, teach us your ways, and we will walk therein. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.